This is a study that I've been working on here for about a year with my colleagues at Kent State, the College of Public Health, and their disclosures. So obviously this session is revolving around disasters, and particularly we think about natural disasters and what specifically older adults would do. Most of us know that it was nearly 1,700 deaths from Katrina in Mississippi, Texas, and certainly Louisiana, and a large proportion of those were over 75 years of age. And we think about this study that we're doing is in looking at disaster risk and vulnerability in Ohio older adults. Certainly disasters happen there. We have a lot of snow, which I'm still getting used to as a coming from North Carolina, so it was snowing when I left to come here. And so we have tornadoes, storm, all kind of flooding, winter events. And we think about, you know, if we're thinking about Katrina and similar natural disasters, why are they so vulnerable? Certainly there's increased likelihood of not having an emergency plan or supplies, may not be able to evacuate safely. We saw that in Katrina, and so on. In Ohio's adult, older adult population, the numbers, reflect what we see across the country, that the age 60 and older population will grow by 52% by the year 2030, which would be a little over a quarter of the population in Ohio. And Ohio currently ranks sixth among states for age 65 and older population. And about 40% of those have some form of a chronic condition, and with half of these having two or more disabilities. And projections show, as far as Ohioans, that the numbers with disabilities will obviously increase as the baby boomer population grows. And so we have a high number of older adults that are suffering with chronic conditions and things that put them at more risk. So we decided to query older adults in Ohio to get a real sense of what was going on in adults 65 and older. So we created a survey and surveyed older adults across the entire state, online survey, you can see here, that got into a variety of questions, asking questions that got at social isolation, as well as typical demographics and your more traditionist preparedness type of questions, and as well as to see if they take prescription medicine, which we know many older adults do, looking at things to see if they're are more likely to be isolated, and can they do things like turning off electricity and gas. And from this, the survey, it produced a nice, unique output, unique to their situation, that may tell them based on the results the type of things they need for their checklist, as far as setting up, you know, whether it was, you know, a supply of food, first aid kit, some traditional things. Well, this sample was a convenient sample of just under 1,500 senior respondents. In this table, you can see that majority of respondents were white suburban females. Fairly even distribution by age, though the largest group were seniors aged 81 and older. And we know that some respondents were volunteering or working, many have pets, and some care for grandchildren, which is another risk factor during a disaster. And based on this, we developed what we call the community assessment for risk during emergencies or care domains, that we were really focusing in on, again, we looked at demographics and traditional preparedness. You know, do you have a kit? Do you have your food supply? Do you have things like that? But we were particularly interested in these factors that can reflect potential for social isolation and increased risk during disaster, including factors like mobility impairment. And so from this, in this table, we created stratified care, this care domains from low risk to a priority. And care level one, based on these domains, would be people that were perhaps socially isolated but had a friend or a family member or a neighbor that did check on them. So a lower level risk. Care level two, moderate would be completely socially isolated, no family member, no neighbor to contact them during the disaster. And then care level three would be isolated, like care level two, but with an additional issue such as medical need, like chronic illness, required oxygen, or mobility impairment. And from this, stratifying this into these care level domains, you can see that those at the highest priority level, in terms of socially isolated, perhaps medical or mobility impairment, were the least likely to be prepared in terms of having the food, a manual can opener, a battery-operated radio. And another critical finding was, which is not shown here, that our subsample of rural older Ohioan adults were disproportionately most vulnerable in the study and had the highest proportion of older adults in the what we categorized as the level three priority level. So from this study, really the crux of this is it's good intentions, we think, absolutely. You know, you see the advertisements, ready.gov, get prepared, get a kit, big focus area. But from our study, it kind of got at what we were suspicious may be going on, that factors that you may query older adults to see if they are prepared is not actually reflecting their level of risk, potentially, particularly from an isolation standpoint. The data that we see indicates there are several practical opportunities for primary prevention. We think about in this, and it's a plan for our future research, looking at developing an educational program for first responders and community partners that work with the aging community to assess pre-disaster to get more of a true level of risk per those care domains. And we plan to expand this because a low level of our sample was rural adults, but they were at highest risk. So it makes sense to us to develop a program of training for these partners, particularly, again, the emergency responders that may be the first to go out during an event to when they're responding to an event with older adults to see what's their level of risk, how isolated they are, do they have mobility impairments, a medical condition that sets them at risk. And certainly our study will be well served, and our plans are a focused study of rural Ohioans. And as I mentioned, the sample was primarily white suburban females that probably particularly internet savvy. These adults came into some community senior centers to take these surveys online. So we've got, you know, a real potential gap there in terms of rural adults and minorities, because the in terms of the sample of Black and Hispanic older adults, they did fall in the higher risk category. So we want to do some more targeted study there. And we see the possibility of assessing these groups in a larger study using the CARE tool and collaborating with the emergency response community, again, as to do perhaps a preparedness assessment and working in conjunction with community organizations to, one, educate these groups, but also develop a thing like we see vulnerability registries increasing across the country, but they're still sporadic, but perhaps to query people, get a sense what's going on, and then also we envision integrating a GIS component. So whether it's the community organizations, aging volunteer groups, or your first responders, whether it's law enforcement, firefighting, that they would be able to determine pre-disaster, again, more of your mitigation phase before, even before the preparedness, really, to prevent or reduce the likelihood of an older adult being in an isolated situation if a disaster occurred, whether it was in Ohio with a snow, flood, tornado, or across the country. We can envision developing a training program like this for responders and aging groups across the country. So that's our plans for the future with this. And how am I doing for time? Okay. So again, when I go back, I'm trying to get this to go back. As I said, it's something to think about, you know, if it's a take-home message from this, when you think about these care domains in terms of isolation, low-level isolation, more of a moderate level, your priority three that we're particularly concerned about, a tool like this could perhaps be used almost like a pre-triage, kind of a different development of like the SWIFT tool that was used during Katrina for assessing medical risk and need for medical care when they went to the Astrodome in Houston, that this could be a pre-event type of tool to do this and to educate seniors, but also educate volunteers and the response community that these are not the only things we need to be looking at, the traditional things of get a kit, have the food, but looking at some of these isolation variables would be helpful. So if there's any further questions, like I said, I've got presentation materials out front, or comments or interest in collaboration and future research. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Staley. Do you have any immediate questions for Dr. Staley?
Yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear.
What counties
did you use in your research?
What counties?
Yes. We queried seniors across all counties in Ohio.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the representation
out of the
notes from Cuyahoga?
We actually had a high number from Cuyahoga,
okay.
Which the first setting of the study was in Cleveland, so that would reflect the higher numbers there. Yes?
For the seniors that you were not able to reach, that didn't attend the senior centers, do you have a strategy or methodology going back and gathering data from that population?
That's part of our plan here in the future. We want to work directly with the aging community organizations and the first responders in particularly some of the urban areas and then rural areas to go out firsthand and query, not necessarily bringing them in, doing a computer survey, but to get an assessment of their risk. Yes, ma'am. We haven't gone that far yet, but yeah, I've seen that there's a lot of variability in the usefulness of the registries, and I think we see this as another opportunity. Registries, certainly, but to give emergency responders in particular an opportunity to have some pre-event data, and particularly in segmenting those within patterns using GIS.
Yeah, we have one more.
Yes, ma'am.
You might also think about partnering with home health agencies in the communities. I saw that you mentioned them briefly, but I didn't know how closely you work with them. Some of them are small, so they're harder to get in touch with. But some of the larger ones absolutely know where their clients are and what their vulnerabilities are.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we will definitely do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Staley.
Thank you.